you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Is it Wanderlei Silva, the axe murderer?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got the ass murderer.
The ass
Adam Schaefer.
Oh,
on the mic.
In this corner, the ass murderer.
The ass murderer.
Adam
of the world.
Schaefer.
You guys are trying to make sure I don't get any ass anymore, don't I?
Pound it.
I come home and my girl's just like, oh, you think,
oh, we just did it
you
again,
think
huh?
You're the ass murderer, huh? You think you're the ass murderer, huh? No ass for you for a week.
And we just ruined that for
I know.
You.
I'm going to start messing with you guys the same
he
way.
He murders
sure.
his own ass.
Hey, so
you guys do that? You guys can't.
I have some questions for Nerdy Sal.
Save us, Nerdy Sal. You're our only hope.
I do. Mm-hmm. Since Justin and I are...
go on.
So I've been seeing...
continue, you will.
I'm so confused right now with all the posts that are going on in social media. There's so many posts on how to do your abs correctly. And I'm just lost on how to do this because you see it everywhere. Like, do this, don't do that, you know. And then you see signs.
I know. I was about to see that in my head and start going.
It did start going in my too.
Do this and don't do that. Can't you read the sign? That was the one win that me and Adam had to get.
Do you know how bad? You know how singing bad wise. Your ADD is, both you guys. It's fuck, just,
bro.
Sadly,
that's why we're not the encyclopedia guys.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I have ADD
totally
too.
Hop into
yeah,
chapter.
I'm everywhere. And nowhere.
Well, let's just, I don't feel like we've really talked
Speaking
much.
Speaking of abs, why don't you bring the donuts you said you were going to bring?
Because I want to try and keep my abs. That's
liar.
Why. Well, so, and I kind of
promised me sprinkles.
I kind of live
wasn't
by.
Talking about donuts.
I kind of live by the philosophy.
I don't want those.
Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget. I was just wondering if you guys
wanted to make dead silence.
I
right
did.
There.
I wanted to make dead silence. Awkward. I wanted to see if you guys would interrupt me for the fifth time. Right.
I was.
Like the teacher in class.
Maybe. Yeah, like, one more time. One more time. Okay, start over. Go.
Okay.
All right, we'll stop talking.
Yeah. No, so I kind of live by the motto of like abs are made in the kitchen. So I spend a majority of my time focusing on my nutrition.
You do crunches in the kitchen?
No, I don't. I don't. And I know it's cliche to say that, right? But the abdominal region for myself has been one of my strengths. It's something that we've talked about this before. Even when I'm like at 13, 14% body fat, you can still see my abs. You know, my body holds a lot more fat in my legs, in my back, in other areas. So, you know, for me.
You have fat thighs.
Yeah, fat thighs. So, for me, it's not been as much of a focus. Now, mind
dude,
you, have I gone on my kicks where I'm doing a lot of different ab work, things like that? Yeah, absolutely. But I can't say that it's ever been something I've actually put my focus on. Like, okay, I'm going to really try and develop my core and abdominal area. Just because, like I said, it's been a strength. I'm always working on a lot of my weaknesses, and that's just been something that's been on the back burner. But I do feel like it's an extremely popular question, and everybody wants to know, what is the right way to do abs? What is the wrong way to do abs? What's the most effective way to do it? And I'm just not the guy to ask.
Well, for some reason, abs probably are surrounded by more fitness bullshit than any other body part. Like, yeah. There's not nearly as much bullshit surrounding.
Well, that's the trophy, let's be honest, like, right. At the end of the program for anybody that's getting involved, because it's so marketed so much that that's the standard for what a, you know, a super healthy person looks like. And, you know, from a difference of aesthetics, like, coming from performance, like, I'm with Adam on this one. Like, I train my core. And my core, you know, it supports my spine. So it's like everything.
Right.
You know, like right. I don't have isolating maneuvers that I don't even crunch, you know. So, I mean, if I'm doing anything for the core, it's involving some kind of a planking, you know, but I'm still working on fluid movement and anything that's bracing.
Well, I mean, so first off, we have to say this. Every single person listening right now has a six pack. It's just covered in body fat if you can't see it. So get lean enough and you will have abs. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, so no matter how well developed your core is, you're not going to see it unless you're lean enough. Okay, so unlike Adam, I have to get under 10% in order to see my abs. because I store body fat around my midsection. That being said, the biceps, the abdominals are surrounded by more myth and bullshit than almost any other body part. And I was going to say, like, training your biceps isn't, you know, there isn't a whole bunch of ignorance around that, or your legs or any other body part, like there is your core. Mm-hmm. They treat it like it's a different muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, train your core every day, but train your biceps once or twice a week, or your legs once or twice a week. You know, do high reps for your core, but do lower reps with heavy weight for everything else. It's all this baloney. And then all the exercises that people do to work the lower abs or the upper abs. Like, you can divide the abdominals into upper and lower. There's a lot of myth surrounding the abdominals. So I would like to cover the truth mm-hmm. about the abdominals and about the core. Number one, in order to see them, you have to be lean. Number two, they develop like any other fucking muscle in your body. They're no different than
by working them.
Yeah, that's it. And
when you work them or some of them, you work all of them.
Yes.
Right. So if you want
it's a contraction.
If you want abs that stick out, if you want like block abs that come out that are real impressive, then you need to build your abs. And the way you build your abs is the same way you build the rest of your body, with resistance.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of, especially physique competitors and bodybuilders will say, I don't like to, you know, do heavy ab exercises because it makes my waist blocky. Well, number one, that's bullshit. Maybe for them, that's true because they're looking for an extreme look. And some of them even wear squeams to atrophy the core, the muscles of the core. And they get so lean, it doesn't matter because you can see them anyway. But for the vast majority of you, building your abs will not give you a bigger waist. It'll just give you more visible abdominal muscles. And you also want to look at the function of the muscles. So you can't. We've talked about this before. You can't separate upper and lower abdominals. The abs attach at two general areas, the lower rib cage and at the pelvis. And I can't isolate between the rib cage and the middle of the abs, or the middle of the abs and the pelvis. The whole thing contracts. So whether I do a leg raise or I do a sit-up, I'm not working upper and lower abs. I'm working my abs. Okay. Same thing with the bicep or any other muscle that has two attachments. You want to look at the action of the abdominal muscles. What is the primary action of, and we're just focusing on the abs because that's the six pack. The primary function of the abs is to flex the lumbar spine. Okay, so that means you're bringing the pelvis closer to the rib cage, or you're bringing the rib cage closer to the pelvis. So it's at that lower back portion of the body that bends. It's not bending at the waist.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So let me give you the difference. If I were to do if I were standing and just lift one leg straight out in front of me, I'm doing kind of a half leg raise, right? Because one leg is coming out in front of me, and that's a hip flexor. Now, even if I did both legs, my abs are going to stabilize a little bit, but the main muscle that's lifting my legs is my hip flexors. The abs aren't doing their full range of motion until I get my pelvis to tilt and bring my pelvis closer to my rib cage. That lower, that kind of crunch position, that crunch movement is the abs doing their work. The reason why leg raises are such a good ab building exercise is because when I extend my legs, I lengthen the lever, which increases the resistance. And now I'm trying to rotate my pelvis with this long lever, and it's just more resistance.
Which, couldn't you say you get the same effect if I were to have a bent knee with a 30-pound dumbbell underneath my feet, and I curl the pelvis all the way up? So.
Right. It's just resistance.
Exactly.
You have to focus on that tailbone tucking. You have to focus on the pelvis coming up and rotating. Up,
so yeah, it contracts fully.
Right.
Yeah.
And the abs,
otherwise,
also,
it doesn't fully contract. I mean, you're still in a stretched state for the most part.
Correct. Now, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't do sit-up type exercises and leg raise type exercises, because they all work the abs. You still do them because there's different recruitment patterns. And just like with any muscle group, different exercises, if you use a plethora of exercises, it's better than just always focusing on one.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing you want to look at also is the range of motion of the abs. The range of motion, you know, when I'm on the floor and I'm doing a crunch, I'm limited by the flatness of the floor. The abs actually extend beyond that. So this is where, like, a physio ball. This is one of the exercises that I would actually do on a physio ball. It's probably the only exercise I would do on a physio ball, is a sit-up or a crunch, because it allows my back to wrap around the ball in a full range of motion. So now I'm stretching the abs, and then I come up and I crunch over the ball. So now I'm getting a full range of motion.
Well, that's why these people, they're called GHBs or those machines where you lean back all the way and you get full flexion out of that.
Right.
Right.
And the thing to keep in mind, too, is when you're doing these resistance-based exercises, and the reason why you want to use resistance, before I go into that, is because You want to build abs that stick out. This is that no BS six-pack formula, that ab program that we have on there. That's what it focuses on. It focuses on building your core so that it's visible at higher body fat percentages. Because if you have bigger abs that kind of, you know, bulge out a little bit, you don't have to get quite as lean to see them. And you'll have really strong, you know, midsection. But in terms of that full range of motion, the other thing you want to keep in mind is you have to be relatively strong in your core to be able to do that stuff without hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of guys, I know a lot of guys and girls that work out and never really work their abs properly. And if I try to take them through a proper Roman chair sit-up where they're getting lumbar extension and lumbar flexion, they can't do it. It's all hip flexor. And then they say it hurts their back because one of the hip flexors, the iliopsoas muscle, attaches at the lumbar spine. Mm-hmm. And they're feeling a pull there. And then boom, I hurt my lower back. And that's why some people say exercises like Roman chair sit-ups or decline sit-ups are not good for the lower back. It's actually okay if your core's strong enough to be able to do those exercises.
Yeah.
But then you have other functions too, right? You have rotation, right? The core is involved in rotating the body. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of great rotation exercises. I know you do those, Justin.
Oh, yeah, all day.
Yeah. So what do you do, like wood chops?
Yeah, exactly. And just the trunk rotations with, you know, cables. Or that's really all I use with the cables is for that, wood chops and trunk rotation. But yeah, I mean, I also do like carries, and why I do these unilateral carries is because, you know, I'm training my core to stabilize me in movement, and, whether I'm getting lateral forces or, you know, compressing forces down, like I'm making sure that I'm fully contracted and I'm moving. And so that's one way I'll do it.
So unilateral carry, for those of people that are listening, they're like, what is he talking about? It would be like holding a very heavy dumbbell or kettlebell in one hand.
Right.
And then walking. So that the opposite side of my core has to stabilize so that my spine doesn't just fold in half in the direction of the heavy dumbbell.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it just, I mean, it teaches me to be able to account for different forces coming at me, and I'll be strong in that. And I'll be able to stabilize myself. So, and plus it builds in, obviously it builds the, you know, the obliques and everything else supporting that lateral movement. So,
well, let's talk about the obliques.
Yeah.
That's like a muscle group.
So important.
It's so important, but everybody demonizes.
Yeah.
Like, don't work your obliques. Your waist is going to grow.
Makes me look all square.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. If anything, the obliques, you want to talk about having, you know, when people say you need to have a strong core to have power, like if you play sports and stuff.
Oh, 100%.
They're talking a lot about the obliques.
Yeah.
That's what gives you that power. Matter of fact, when you look at, if you look at ancient sculptures of like Hercules and stuff like that from the ancient Greeks, by the way, they modeled these sculptures off of, athletes that competed in
Olympic athletes.
And all these sculptures are muscular, very muscular, very detailed, but they all have these very strong obliques because they saw that athletes that could kick ass had these they had these strong obliques. So for those of you guys listening, you know, worrying about making your waist any bigger, just get lean. I promise your obliques aren't going to make your waist an inch larger. At the absolute most, you might get a quarter inch on your waist, but that's at like 2% body fat.
Saying that reminds me of like the same people that say like they don't want their legs to get any bigger, so they like avoid working their legs out or like doing hamstrings and stuff like that because it's like that's just more leg work that's going to make their legs look bigger. And it's like when you're more shapely, it's you look leaner, you look better. Like even if like you measure and maybe your legs do go up an inch or maybe your waist does go up one inch, but the illusion that it's created because of how defined you now are, because now you actually have muscle there. It's,
well, think about it this way: a really lean 34-inch waist looks a lot smaller than a fat 34-inch waist.
Oh, yeah.
Same size, right? But I mean, it's overstated, though. My point is it's overstated. You're not going to get a big waist from working your obliques.
Well, and I think our ideas of what, you know, what's portrayed as healthy and what we're all trying to aspire to, you know, a lot of people have it wrong. Like they see something genetically in somebody else that gives them that, you know, V-looking, like real slim waist, whereas, you know, not everybody's bone structure supports that in, you know, musculature. And why would you be altering your body? You might as well, it's like cosmetic surgery at that point.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. You're doing your body a disservice.
But I'll tell you something, right? Let me ask you guys a question. We've trained probably amongst the three of us thousands of clients. How many clients have you ever had where you've trained for a long time, you know, who said to you, oh, that's it. I don't want to get any stronger. I don't want to build any more muscle. Right? Never. Right. Has that ever happened?
Actually, I got to admit, I've had this one lady that she came back to me and she, like the way that she built muscle genetically, like her trapezius, like it grew. And she got really like...
How common is that? Yeah, super
like,
rare.
Yeah, rare.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, yeah, it's impressive. I mean, you're getting like very strong and she got really lean and she was super happy. But guess what? Her husband didn't like it.
Mm.
And so, you know, she had to come in and complain. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's selling a pussy. Like,
come on, dude. She looked awesome.
Yeah.
But
that's funny.
Yeah. Well, that's the one time that's happened, but that was it.
Yeah. I'd say in very rare cases, would I not train a body part on someone? Super rare because they're, and usually these are people who already have it very, very well developed.
Like, yeah, some, like a pair of calves. Someone's got some badass calves.
I was just going to say, sometimes you'll see women with really massive calves and they don't even work out.
Yeah.
Right. That might be the one time.
Totally.
Right?
It's totally something I completely skip on a female. If she's got great calves already, it's like, mm-hmm. That's like forearms, calves, you know, those muscle groups, like you.
Well, they're always contributing anyway.
Exactly. Every time she does a squat and a lunge and things like that, her calves are getting fired and engaged. It's like her forearms are getting engaged every time she does a row or anything else that she's got to grab or hold on to something. So, yeah, I would. Those are things I would leave out for sure. Yeah. But one of my favorite things is to introduce a lot of good hamstring work and stuff like that to a female that never deadlifted really before doing something, because let me talk about shaping that backside and really bringing the curves of a legs and ass and everything together. A
lot
of,
sorry, I was imagining it.
So the abs thing, I mean, going back here, so one of the things I do with a client when I teach abs too is when I'm just I want to teach them how to engage first. Because you made a
great point.
You made a really good point about, you know, learning that you need to be able to contract that lumbar, which most people can't even figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, they think it's flexing at the hips. They think they're just sitting up.
Yes.
And they feel it in the core, but that's because the core is just stabilizing.
Yes.
It's not working in its full range of motion, which would be lumbar flexion.
So what I do is I take somebody and I lay them on the ground with their back flat, knees bent at 45 degrees. And when they do that, it's going to create this natural arch in their low back. So there's no, and depending on if they already have a slight anterior pelvic tilt or not, I have a really bad one, so I can actually fit my arm beneath that gap. Most people will be able to fit at least their hand. And so what I'll tell them to do is I want you.
My cock.
God.
Sorry, there was a moment there I had.
You know what? Don't ever do that if you're training a client. Yeah, lay on your back.
Yeah, I'm going to fit my
cock. I could totally fit my dick under your lower back.
Whoa, keep it right there. I see an opportunity.
Jesus, dude.
I got you.
Yeah, that is not the time to do that. So that gap that we're talking about, do not put your penis in there. What you want to do is you want to teach the client to learn how to press the low back flat. And what you're doing is you're teaching them to engage that core, and then that you're already going to get that slight flexion
there. You're taking them from anterior to posterior pelvic tilt, which is what the core would do in that position.
Exactly. And it's just a very simple way. I've always, you know, you as a trainer, you always got to find these creative ways to get people to fire fire the muscles correctly. And that's one of them for abs. And I'll spend some time doing that, teaching them just how to contract and to fire that correctly, and then you advance them.
Well, I've had lots of athletes come to me who are fit as hell, ripped abs, and then I'll train their core, and they are so hip flexor dominant, they can't even activate their core properly.
Yeah.
Because all they've done is they've done leg raises, reverse crunches, all these different things, but it's all hip flexor dominant. So one thing that I'll do, and this is a nice little trick you could do.
And they run like crazy too.
Right.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Most athletes, they have overactive hip flexors.
Right. So here's a little trick you can do. Get on a physio ball like you're going to do a crunch. So your lower back is on the top of the physio ball, your knees bent, feet flat on the floor. And then you want to activate your glutes and hamstrings. So I want you to push your butt up into the air and keep your hips up. And so by flexing the glutes, you are inhibiting activation of the hip flexors through a process called reciprocal inhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you flex a muscle, the opposing muscle naturally relaxes. So if I flex my bicep, tricep relaxes and so on. So in this position, I have them push their hips up, always flexing the glutes. Now, while maintaining the hip up position, they have to do a crunch. And what'll happen, a lot of them, is they'll try and sit down. They'll try and drop the hips. And I tell them, nope, keep your hips up. Keep pushing up. And then all of a sudden, they feel their core working. And now these really strong athletes can barely do 10 proper crunches.
Okay, we had to talk about this.
Yeah, now once you engage, you actually are able to recruit that when you're doing it properly. Yeah.
Here, we have to talk about this because we in the past have bashed functional training and a lot of fitness physio ball stuff.
No, here's where it's good.
Here's a perfect example, though, where you might do a chest fly and some exercises on the physio ball because you're trying to also address a postural deviation.
Right.
So think about that right now that you just brought up with someone who has an overactive hip flexors, and you're trying to get them to learn how to engage that. So you'll put them on the physio ball, and since you're trying to get them to do that anyways, why not incorporate that on the same time that you're also doing like a chest exercise or something else that you're trying to do in that floor bridge position?
Right. If you take it to the next level now, you're looking at, you know, okay, can we activate all these other muscles while maintaining this type of muscle recruitment pattern with your core? Now this isn't more, and listen, this is more advanced training. The people that should utilize these tools should be advanced and should know how to utilize them properly. Well, we're not just putting people on balls and having them balance and shit because it looks cool, because that's what it was, you know, 15 years ago.
My balls.
No, yeah. I mean, if they're doing that, that should be the reason why. So that just a normal person coming in to use the ball because they see someone else doing using the ball and they think, oh, she's fit, she used the ball, I'm going to get on the ball and use the ball. No, that's not how it works. Right. It's like there's something specifically that we're trying to do, why I'm creating that bridge.
Right, and so with our the program, the No BS Six-Pack Formula, you know, people are like, well, how often should I work out my abs? Well, we recommend most people work out the whole body between 2 or 3 days a week. There's no different for the core. So you do your core workout, your ab workout, obliques, whatever, 2 to 3 days a week. You do your heavy, harder workouts. Use resistance so you can see them develop. And then add trigger sessions on your off days and watch what happens. We got so much feedback when we first put that program out. I got so much feedback from people who are like, I never had an impressive six-pack until I learned how to train them properly. I didn't have to get any leaner, but now I can see my abs coming out because I've learned how to develop them. No. The same thing happened to me. I used to get real lean and I'd have real flat midsection. Then I learned how to develop them and I was able to develop this core. By the way, incidentally, my other heavy lifts, like my deadlifts, overhead presses, and squats, got better as well because I was able to make those muscles
now
stronger.
Now if you could just figure out how to BFR your abs, you know what I mean?
Occlude them.
We're gonna try that. We're gonna try that.
Let's it's a weight belt. Out. Doesn't a weight belt do that a little bit?
Mm.
Yeah,
maybe.
So, yeah, up I guess that's. Chest. I guess that's it. Do you guys have anything to add with that?
No, I wanted us to touch on abs. I think that was a good little refresher course. I think for everybody on
ab training myths.
Yes,
right. Awesome. Don't forget to subscribe to Mind Pump. Give us a great rating and give us an awesome review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.